Blog Talk Radio.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming. The king. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me.
Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives he has redeemed. Broken homes he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, now dressed in garments white as snow.
I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpets spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstands all in place. Heaven's choir. Start to sing amazing grace. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you are all doing well this Saturday afternoon. Well, we're winding down our series. It ends today. Our series is series number 31, and the title is, It's Time to Take the Fight to Pharaoh. Well, when we left off yesterday, Pharaoh was done for. Pharaoh and his armies were defeated at the Red Sea. There is no Pharaoh to take the fight to. Pharaoh is history. Pharaoh has met his demise. His army has met his demise at the hand of the Lord, who revenged what previous Pharaoh had done to Israel, which was to take their newborn males and drown them in the River Nile. Now God returns the favor and drowns this vast army of Egyptians with their horses and chariots at the Red Sea. And so there is no Pharaoh to take the fight to, because Pharaoh has been given the knockout blow of all knockout blows. So today we continue in our last study, looking at the children of Israel sojourning, making their way to the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise. And we're going to pick up our scripture text. Our scripture text for today is Exodus 7, verse 12. Exodus 7, verse 12, and it says, "For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." It's still a battle, a war of attrition, where anyone who fights Israel shall have their numbers reduced and their strength reduced by the mighty power of God. Who's next on the docket? The Amalekites. The Amalekites come against Israel in the desert, and God defeats them by again having Moses lift up the rod. So let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we have this last study. What a blessing it has been to stay in your word, to read and discover the truths you have encoded for us in Scripture. Now, Lord, we pray that you bless us, encourage us, and strengthen us, we pray. Bless this last study on this subject. And, Lord, we shall be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory that your name is due. This we pray, this we ask, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Our story picks up in Exodus 17, where there are two fights in this chapter. There are two battles. One, Israel fights Israel. There's an internal battle. The people turn on Moses, their leader. They chide Moses. They argue with Moses. They take up stones to stone Moses. Israel is fighting Israel. How many times have we seen a church fighting itself? How many times? Numerous times. It's an old story, but yet lessons are to be gained from these old stories. Much wisdom is to be derived, much understanding. So Israel fighting Israel is Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. And of course, in this battle, the Lord tells Moses to use his shepherd's rod. And then starting in chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, there's Israel fighting Amalek. So one battle is internal, the other battle is external. The enemies are our own brothers and sisters in the first battle, and in the second battle, our enemies are distant relatives. The Amalekites are distant relatives of Israel, because the Amalekites are the descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. So let's read Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. An internal battle in the church. Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7.
Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses.
Give us water that we may drink.
Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?
And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses.
Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?
So Moses cried out to the Lord.
What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.
Go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also, take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there, on the rock in Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink.
And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not?
So there's the first battle. The battle is internal. People turning on their leadership. So God says to Moses, take the rod, take the shepherd's rod, because it's always the shepherd's rod. And go to this rock to which I will direct you. There's a rock in Horeb. And I want you to smite the rock one time. You have to hit the rock once. And when you hit the rock, gushing water. So Moses does as the Lord instructs him. And the people are blessed with water. And their thirst is quenched. And the battle ends. Of course, Moses documents that it was at this place that the people chided or contended or fought with him. It's recorded that this is where the people fought with Moses. This is where the people argued with Moses. This is where the people complained against God and God's leadership. So, in this story, we have a bit of typology because the rock that Moses is told to hit is a type of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. We know that Christ died once. And when Christ was smitten by the order of God, remember, Isaiah 53 says, and it was God's choice to have him smitten. Who is God having smitten? His only son. Now, when Jesus was smitten, when Jesus died on the cross, it opened the fountain, the everlasting fountain of salvation. For example, let me take you to Revelation 21. Let's go to Revelation 21. In Revelation 21, verse 6, it says, And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So here again, Christ speaking. It is Christ says, if anyone is athirst, if anyone needs their spiritual thirst quenched, I am the one they can come to, and I will quench their spiritual thirst. That's the promise that only Christ can make to those who what? To those who love him. In chapter 22, if you turn with me to chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 17, it says, the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come. Who's the Spirit and the bride saying come to? Well, they're saying it to sinners. They're saying it to people who are lost. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of evangelism. And the bride of Christ is the bride of evangelism. And both the spirit of evangelism and the bride of evangelism say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So when Moses in the Old Testament in Exodus 17 was commanded by God to take his shepherd's rod, which was God's rod, and smite the rock once, and he did, it was pointing to the smiting of Jesus Christ. And when he was smitten on the cross, the fountain of salvation gushed open, and all who are athirst can drink freely. So there you have it. The Lord provides water for his people even after, without cause, they attack him. They attacked the Lord. They spoke evil of the Lord, and they spoke evil of his servant Moses. But God, who is so gracious and so merciful, gives us things we don't deserve. That, my brothers and sisters, is grace. We're all saved not because we merit salvation, not because we can earn it, not because we deserve it. Quite the contrary. We are given this gift of salvation purely by the grace of God. So now we move to our second battle in the text. And this is against an external enemy. Notice, Moses does not take the rod of God and attack the people of God. No. No shepherd should out of God to fight the people of God. The shepherd of God takes the rod of God to provide water or whatever the people of God need. Never does a shepherd use that rod to smite or beat down God's people. God forbid. We use it so that blessings may come forth, like the water did out of the rock, for the people of God. Now, in the second story, we're going to battle Amalek, the Amalekites. So let's read, starting at verse 8, all the way down to verse number 16, to the end of the chapter.
Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua,
choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.
Notice, Joshua is to choose out men and to go down and confront Amalek with swords. But Moses is going to go of the mount, the top of the hill, with the rod of God in his hand, the shepherd's rod. To do what? Well, let's find out.
So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven."
And Moses built an altar, and called its name, "The Lord is my banner," for he said,
"Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation."
So notice, my brothers and sisters, the war that we are to be engaged in, the fight and the battle that we are to wage, is from generation to generation. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Moses lifted up the rod of God. Aaron on one side and Ur on the other side supported his arms so that as long as the rod of God stayed up, Israel prevailed. And when Moses' hands went down, Amalek prevailed. So what do we learn from this? Well, my brothers and sisters, listen. If we continue with the prayer meeting, if we continue with Tuesday nights, and Tuesday night, I keep saying it again and again and again, Tuesday night is the most important service of our week. Why? Because it is the evening in which the rod of God is up in the air, hands are stayed, and Israel, the church, prevails. Listen, Monday through Friday, we are praying from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, whether you're at the church building in person with me, or whether you're at work, or whether you're at home, or whether you're at your garden, or whether you're in your tractor, getting hay, or, collecting, harvesting your corn or your soybeans. If you're in that air-conditioned tractor at 12 noon, and you join me in prayer, and I'm at the church, and a housewife is at home, and someone else is at their job, and we're praying, listen, as long as we continue with prayer, Israel prevails. When we stop praying, we start to lose the battle. It's that simple. The battle is from generation to generation. In other words, listen to me, saints. You can never give up the prayer meeting. You can never, remember in our prayer manual that we gave in the beginning of the year, the story of the woman and the little red schoolhouse. Remember that story? How the pastor started a prayer meeting and then it began to wane and the pastor canceled it because he didn't see that the numbers were good. And so a little old lady says, "I know the pastor canceled it, but I have a desire to go pray to God." So she had a prayer meeting of one, and it was a snowy day. And the little old woman returning stopped at the deacon's house because the snow was so deep, if you remember in your manual the story. The snow was so deep, and the deacon said, "Mother, where have you been?" She says, "I was at the prayer meeting." "But Mother, Pastor canceled the prayer meeting." She says, "I know, but I was there." And he says, "Who else was there?" "God the Father was there, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit." And the little woman kept the prayer meeting going. She was the one with the rod up in the air. Listen, it doesn't have to be a Moses with the rod up in the air. It could be a housewife. It could be a child in the church. You know, it could be little Noah or little Andy or little Millie. It could be a child. It could be a teenager. It could be a young adult. It can be a church mother. It can be an elderly woman who keeps the prayer meeting going as long as the prayer meeting continues. Israel prevails. When we give up on the prayer meeting, the church loses and Amalek gains the upper hand. Who's going to take the shepherd's rod? Who's going to join us on Tuesday night to stay Sister Linda Hart's hands? Who's going to join us? I know I'm going to be on one side. Who's going to be on the other side? And then when I'm praying Monday through Friday, you don't have to be in the building with me. You could be staying my hands. You can be supporting my hands from wherever you are. The key is let's keep praying. Because when we pray, Israel wins, the church wins, the kingdom of God wins, and Amalek loses. Satan loses. Satan's kingdom goes backwards as long as we continue to what? To pray. And God said, hey, you can't cancel the prayer meeting ever. Why? Because I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's a generational thing. It never ends. Who told these people to cancel the prayer meeting? Who told them to give up on calling on the Lord? Who told them? Who told them to do that? What permission did they have when God said that the battle is from generation to generation? Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's the rod of God. The shepherd's rod. It's not Moses' rod. It's not Aaron's rod. They get to use it because God has them as the leaders. But it's really God's rod. It's the rod in which we are reminded that God will add his supernatural to our natural. So, I hope you join us. Let's take the fight to Pharaoh. Let's take the fight to Satan. Let's take the fight to the forces of darkness by doing what? By saying to Satan, let God's people go in St. Johnsville. And how does that get done? It begins by praying, by upholding the prayer meetings, by attending the prayer meetings to the best of your ability. That's how. Well, that'll do it for today, Saints. We'll be back on Monday starting a new series. I hope and pray this series was a blessing to you. I'll look forward to see you in church tomorrow as we have the Lord's Supper, as we celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blessing that his death has been to us. God bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name.
Stand up, for Jesus is soldier of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty come.
and strength to strength upholds. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be.